I'm Colin Ellis, and for 30 years I was a permanent employee of other people's cultures. What I wanted to know more than anything else during that time was how to create a great culture myself. So I wrote a book called Culture Fix, which is the world's first how-to guide for building great workplace culture. And in this, the Culture Makers podcast, I get industry leaders from around the world to expand on the ideas I wrote about in the book and to get them to share actionable things that you can do to create a great place to work yourself. And remember, listening is good, but action is better. Hi everyone, on this episode of the Culture Makers podcast, I'm talking to Jocelyn Hunter. Jocelyn is one of Australia's most respected PR professionals, with over 20 years public relations experience working for some of the world's top technology-driven companies, both in agency and in-house. Today, she runs her own successful PR consultancy, Bench PR, through which she is dedicated to building a vibrant workplace culture that values trust, empowerment, and flexibility. Jocelyn, hello and welcome to the Culture Makers podcast.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's good to be here.
So what people listening don't know is we already did this whole first 5 minutes and my little unit completely crapped out on me. So what we're going to do for the benefit of everyone else is we're going to do that again. We already know what the answers are. But, you know, a little bit of humility, a little bit of honesty. It's not like we haven't rehearsed. So if it feels really rehearsed, then we've done this. So my question to you, Jocelyn, is how does someone with a degree in history from Sheffield University in the UK go to PR?
Well, Colin, you might think that that's, a big leap. But actually, I was thinking about this the other day. And I guess learning history, you know, it was very much about writing essays, being able to put an argument together, you're ultimately being able to write. But in my final year, my dissertation was World War II propaganda. So I was already interested in those messages and that the government were giving around the war and, dig for victory and all of that good stuff. So I suppose communication has always been of interest, and history was something I really loved to study. So I found a connection there in joining history and communication. But I guess the reason why, how I got the job in my first PR agency was because I saw the job in the Media Guardian back then in 97, and they had 4 graduate places, and I applied, 300 people applied, and I got the job. So, yes.
Amazing. And you know, when you're applying for jobs, you don't really know what you're getting yourself into, but you have a sense of it, right? And you probably did the same when you read the job ad. And I often think one of the hardest things to do is for an organization to really present itself in a job ad. And I think, you know, one of the things I recommend is you look at the words that you use to make sure you're attracting kind of people who shared values. But back in those early days, we were just attracted by an opportunity, you know, and that's probably what you did. You were like, oh, I like the sound of that, and kind of straight in there. Did you have any kind of experience before that?
Yeah, interestingly, they did put me through a load of processes. There was a group assessment interview that I had to do a presentation, which interestingly was about the Spice Girls and women power. So I guess the reason why I got the job, though, was the work experience that I set up for myself in the second summer of my degree. So I already had an interest in PR, didn't really know what it was about, applied to a bunch of agencies in my hometown in York, got some work experience, initially agreed on the 3 weeks, and then I'd have to go back to my bar job and take some money back to university. And they just said, well, you're great, we want to keep you for the whole summer, so we'll pay you more than your bar job. And that's ultimately what got me the job, because the agency could see that I was interested enough to get some experience in working for a PR agency. So I didn't go home, I suppose, as a lot of my friends did after their degree, and applied for jobs all at the same time. I was already on it 6 months out and went straight down to London. So before my degree result even came out, to be honest, I'd have still been there if I failed, you know, like, and I got other friends that did other subjects where, no, they absolutely had to get a 2-1 or a first, and then they, you know, jobs in the media, it's just, it's often who you know, and so competitive. You just have to, think about what puts you aside from everyone else.
I'd like to think that presentation on the Spice Girls is still there somewhere. It's like people are like, oh, you know, female influencer Jocelyn Hunter. Well, she did this presentation. My Spice Girls fact is that Mel C is actually from the same village and went to the same high school as me. Different times, obviously.
Did she?
Great story. This podcast is not about me anyway. So you went down to the south of England, down to London?
2 years in London, yeah.
And so did you kind of, did you move around, Jocelyn? Did you kind of do a little bit of work here? Was that the nature of PR? It feels like that's the nature of PR. You did kind of 18 months here, 18 months there. How did it work for you?
Yeah, look, I think I guess before I got to Australia, I worked for 4 PR agencies and then I also worked in-house. So for me, I guess if you look at my history before I set up Bench PR in 2008, I was averaging a couple of years in those agencies, which is pretty typical. You know, it's a major challenge for agencies to keep hold of people. 2 years is probably the average. A lot of that is down to the culture in those agencies. So, yeah, my first agency in London was working for tech companies. Obviously, didn't know anything about technology or tech companies, but did 2 years with them in London and then moved back up north and joined another agency up there. So
the shift to Australia came when was that? What was the reason behind the jump?
Yeah, 2006. The reason behind the jump was we had decided that, I think we were 30 at the time, we would see a bit of the world and we would travel the world and then go back to the UK, which actually resulted in 6 weeks traveling from Cairns down to Melbourne, me saying, I can't do this anymore. I love Melbourne. We didn't do the rest of our trip. So not much traveling there. Alan was offered a pretty amazing job in Melbourne working for a big PR agency here. So, yeah, didn't go home. Family are still in shock 15 years later.
It's amazing how much the family hold your own happiness against you, isn't it? We were the same when we emigrated. We're like, we're going to move to New Zealand with our little kids. It's safe. Oh, you're going with the grandchildren, are you? It's like, oh, I'm sorry. We just thought our happiness came first. Well, it doesn't. So how long then before you set up Bench? What, you know, kind of what was the decision where you were like, ooh, I really, you know, I think I could do something on my own here.
So I think I did. I mean, so this was, it would have been 8 years in the UK working for PR agencies and in-house. And then 2006, we came out to Australia. I got a job, big PR agency in Melbourne. Did I think maybe 15 months with them? So 2008, I just thought, middle of the GFC, you know, let's set up, you know, your own business. Great time to do it. Because I think I'd seen as well working for that agency, there were a lot of opportunities working with tech-driven companies in Melbourne. And I think at the time they were going to Sydney for that advice or other agencies. And I just saw there was an opportunity and I was pulling in business, this tech company business that was for this agency. And I just thought, you know, I've kind of learned what I need to learn now. I have 4 agencies, you know, in-house role. I can do this on my own. And that was 2008. Like I said, GFC. But actually, I do think it's a good time to set up a business. I'd say the same during the COVID pandemic. A lot of companies look at how they do things and they make decisions to change how they do things. And for me, that was companies that perhaps had used large global PR agencies that still needed some PR support, but they didn't necessarily want to pay all that money for a large global agency to take care of them. So fortunately, Apple took a chance on me in 2008 and the rest, I guess, is history.
And so when you got to the point where you were hiring people yourself, Jocelyn, at what point kind of does culture become front of mind? Did it become front of mind? Was it the evolution of, here's a bunch of stuff that I've seen that's really good that I want to emulate. Here's a bunch of bad that I definitely don't want to do. Here's the values that I've got. Was it a conscious thing to begin with? Was it kind of an evolutionary thing for you?
I think it was an evolutionary thing. I think working for those agencies, I'd certainly seen what worked really well. I'd also been in agencies that I didn't, the things that I didn't enjoy and didn't work very well. So I guess for me, a lot of it was around flexibility. My previous agency in Melbourne didn't want anyone to work from home. I was in quite a senior role, so they expected me to be in the office and managing those people. But my previous experience in the UK had been setting up a Manchester office for a London agency. It was just me and another colleague working from home. We were pulling in so much revenue for this agency. We weren't being distracted. We weren't kind of, you know, doing these long meetings or, I don't know, talking about the weekend. And my boss in the UK, in London, very quickly started to realise that the Manchester office, which was just, like I said, to begin with, me and my colleague at home, were doing really well. And I just thought, this is crazy. I don't understand why we don't have this flexibility. I understand the media is 24/7 and there is an element of, you know, being available. But to be chained to a desk 5 days a week, I couldn't stand it. I could not stand the going in and doing that. And I think in my industry, I saw an awful lot of, because it's PR is clearly female dominated, a lot of women leaving the industry when they had kids because it was full time or no time. So they were just walking out the door and, you know, couldn't come back into the workforce because they just weren't being given the option to work flexibly. So that meant that I wanted my agency to run like that. All my team worked flexibly because it was one thing that I hated about going to office. And it's just weird that, you know, now it's taken a global pandemic for companies to understand that that can work. You don't need to make everyone commute to an office to get the job done. It is
crazy. I was talking about this just last week, is, you know, because I was working from home in 2001 because someone was saying, oh, well, it's been so hard to do it for so long. I'm like, it really hasn't. You know, it's a lot of old fashioned behaviors have kept it at bay and some old fashioned thinking. And so it's really refreshing that you had that front of mind when you were kind of thinking about your culture, because I still think some people are grappling with this concept of hybrid, you know, and ultimately it's about creating the right cultural conditions so people feel connected, they feel a sense of belonging. It's about setting expectations in the right way, and then it's about working together to achieve those goals. Put simply, that's pretty much it, right?
It is, absolutely. And I think, you know, particularly for you know, people who have got the experience, they don't want to be necessarily back in an office doing the social. And you know, again, my team members have all got a minimum of 10 years experience. Some of them have got kids. They want to do school drop off. They want to go and, you know, be available for whatever show they might be in. Or sometimes, you know, kids get sick. Well, I've now got to stay at home with, you know. So I just really thought it was, yeah, again, coming from the UK and having done it in the UK, to go to an agency culture, which was, you know, what you can't see, you can't manage. I was like, this is nuts. Like, surely this is a job that you can do from, I've got my contacts, I've got my email, you know. I mean, we use tools, obviously, like Slack and things like Asana at Bench to help with that remote, I guess, work. And we work with, that's the other thing, I guess the clients we work with are often those early adopters, you know. So for example, GitLab, who we work with, they're all remote, and they would argue that hybrid is really hard to do, super tough. There's 1300 of them. They work across 60 countries. But when you're talking to kind of some of those traditional companies, their mind's blown with that stuff. And I just, yeah, that's not how I wanted to kind of set up the culture at Bench.
Yeah, and that's a great example of a cultural lesson that you've learned through your own working career that you're able to embed into your own culture, you know. And I often say that that's what people should do in their own jobs, is what's worked well, what hasn't. And so the evolution of that then, Jocelyn, so as you bring people into the business, kind of what latitude do you give them to contribute to change stuff about Bench so that you don't ever stand still and stagnate?
Yeah, I think because, again, my team have all worked in sometimes really large PR agencies. They come with their own ideas, and you know, we do talk about, is there a way of doing this better? Is there a tool that we should be using that can improve on, you know, whether it's efficiency or how we communicate? And I guess it's just probably because we are that small team, we do have those discussions. I think it's also really important for a PR agency to be mindful of who you hire. So, you know, not perfect. And I've made, you know, a couple of mistakes in the past in terms of that person I hire, but that's really important. Again, kind of, you know, working with clients we worked with a company called Vend for a long time. They had a no dickhead policy, you know, like it's just, and they called it that. You can work really hard at kind of embedding a great culture, but if you hire the wrong person, you know, it free falls, particularly for us because they're client facing, but also they've got to get on with the team. It's a team effort. So I think that's really important in terms of who you hire and the ideas that they bring and what they've used in a previous life. So yeah, I guess we're a flat structure. So that was one of the really good things I learned from a previous agency that worked really well. I didn't want to spend any time managing people. I just didn't. And from a selfish perspective, you know, I just didn't want to do it anymore. And I think the more senior you get in PR, the actual less PR you do. Most of your time is taken up managing people or, you know, review process or looking at, you know, what income's coming in. It's actually not doing any PR. And if you love PR, that's really hard because you're at an agency, you're just not doing that. So that's why it was kind of hire senior people who are great at what they do, let them get on with it. It's not rocket science, but actually you've really got to find the right person because not everybody wants to work remotely or wants to work like that.
So what were some of the things, you can use the pandemic as an example or just kind of generally the way you work, what are some of those things that you do to keep people connected to each other? Jocelyn, because obviously kind of personality, communication, relationships, they're all super important for making sure that you've got that glue for the culture. So what are some things that you do to stay connected?
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, we are a remote team and we're in different states as well. So, you know, there's a couple of us in Sydney, another senior consultant in Adelaide. So even though we're remote, I do ensure that we get together. We actually just had our first team night last week. Kind of haven't seen each other since December 2019. Because 12 months ago, we'd kind of booked everything. And then because of COVID, border closures and all that good stuff. So yes, I would say definitely getting the team together is still really important. You know, so it's flights, it's hotels, it's dinner, it's all that good stuff. But it's really, really, really important to do that just so, you know, everyone feels we're a team and we're connected. So, you know, definitely do that. I think recognition as well is really important for us. So that's what I love working for that first agency in the UK. They were really good at kind of recognizing what everyone was bringing to the table. And that could be a lunch out somewhere. It could be, you know, just those frequent perks to say, job well done. Here, have this, and actually send out weekly highlights every week so that the rest of the team knows what great work is going on. They might not be working on those clients, but, you know, that communication every week to call out those highlights. Again, because we're not in an office all together, that's really important so that they can all see kind of the good work that's being done. So I think that's definitely been important to us.
Do things like meetings, do you try and keep those to a minimum? Do you kind of define how you stay in touch? You mentioned you use tools like Slack and Asana. Are you quite, I suppose, disciplined around the way that you use tech to make sure that you've got a lot of productive time in there?
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, we have some of our own rules around boundaries. So because we work a lot with global companies, you know, that might be headquartered in the US, we've got some fast growth companies here in Australia as well. But I mean, you could just be on your email 24/7. Like, I mean, that is totally possible at Bench. So I've always been quite strict at kind of no emails after 6. Nothing on Slack at weekends, because I just think everybody needs that time to wind down, to bring their best work. Because again, media is difficult because journalists, you know, write so many stories a day. They might call you at 8 at night and want to comment, but I have really tried to put those boundaries around how we use the technology and put that in place so that everyone feels like, you know, otherwise clients don't expect you to be on your email at 9 o'clock. So it just keeps going and going and going and everybody's exhausted, particularly on the back of 2020. It's just been really, really important for us to have those boundaries and respect our clients' boundaries as well. You know, not contact them at 2 in the morning for...
Yeah.
it's just having that respect and also for each other, you know, just not dropping things on each other with, you know, 30 minutes notice. I think just respecting the team and how they work and
It's really important that it's Thich Nhat Hanh said in his book, The Art of Living. So as well as saying, don't just sit there, do something, we should also say, don't just do something, sit there. And I often feel that we don't make enough time for rest and relaxation. There are so many people who are listening to the podcast who could take a leaf out of your book and say, actually, yeah, we're not going to do Slack at the weekend. We're not going to do email after six. You know, and do you find that, you know, kind of as a business person running your business yourself, do you feel fresh then on a Monday for it, Jocelyn? Do you still have that real excitement to go to work?
Yeah, I do. I mean, ultimately, I do still love what I do. I think it's the variety is insane. We just talked about the cyber breaches this morning. Like, you know, we work for a couple of security companies, and that is just fast. You've got to put something together quickly on behalf of your client, get it out the door. I mean, it changes all the time. But yeah, I am very strict. I don't do any work over weekends. That's not to say I don't think about it. I do. But in terms of, you know, actually doing work in the evenings at the weekends, no. It's just, again, having worked in previous agencies where, you know, you're across 15 clients and you're working 15-hour days, it's just not sustainable. And I think, you know, for us, it's all about keeping my team happy with the work they're doing. And, you know, a great culture, I guess, in PR agency land is having a team that have been with you for several years. And in our case, we've got 10 years, 7 years, 5 years, 4 years. I mean, that's just unheard of in the PR industry and clients too. So keeping hold of those clients over the long term, not doing any project work, which we don't, and just investing in those clients and making sure that their cultures align, because we turn down business with companies who we think don't have great cultures. Doesn't take a lot to kind of look on Glassdoor and see, which we did a few weeks ago, to see, okay, they're not going to be a great company to work with. They've got major issues in there. So we'll turn it down, because that ultimately is going to be bad for us to work with a company like that.
Yeah, that's right. And it's one of those challenges for me, you know, because generally people come and work with me when things are either really, really good and they want to maintain that, or things are really, really broken and they need to fix it. And, you know, the first question, they're always like, oh, you're going to run some kind of diagnostic. I was like, nah, I'm just going to speak to people. They're like, what? I was like, I just want to speak to people and get them to tell me exactly what they think about where they work right now. Now, you work with a lot of tech companies, so I imagine you see a lot of really good examples, because talent is scarce in tech, right? So the just like for Bench, I would suppose, is a big reason, you know, one of the main reasons, apart from yourself, of course, for keeping people there is the culture that they work within. The same is true when you're working on behalf of tech companies. If they don't have that good culture, then it's very hard to project something that isn't there. Is that fair?
Oh, it's so important. I mean, you can't work for companies you don't really believe in. You know, if a prospect comes to me and I look on their website and the board is full of white men, no thanks. There's just no excuse. There's no excuse. And you're absolutely right. I'd say all of the clients that we work for at the moment are recruiting. They're hiring. They're doing some amazing things to attract that talent. And one's just opened up an office in Magnetic Island in Queensland, and another one in Queenstown, because they're just like, you can work from anywhere. You know, if you want to go and change your life and move from Melbourne up to Magnetic Island, go for it. So you can't help but feel inspired by those companies who are trying, you know, also gender diversity and hiring more, like they're all over it. You can't help but feel passionate about those companies versus traditional, you know, tech old school companies that aren't that bothered about changing the diversity, and they're quite happy with the status quo. I mean, that's just not very, it's just not very inspiring and not very compelling either. So yeah, that's really important to us. And I think once you can realize that your culture's matched, then yeah, you're aligned that way, then you can't help but get enthusiastic and find those opportunities for your clients.
Yeah, and I think once you've got the kind of where you've got shared values, where the things that you value are the things that you kind of your clients value, you just want each other to succeed so much. And it's the same. Absolutely. True within the culture, right? It's, you know, when you've spent so much time bringing people on board to make sure they've got a good values match, Jocelyn, I guess as you and I know for a fact you're a servant leader, because I've spoken to people who work at Bench R and they say how amazing you are. By putting yourself yourself in service to others, that's how you create loyalty. It doesn't create itself. It's about the environment that you create so that others can do their best work.
Yeah, totally. And I think for us, you know, I mean, we are an all-female team, right? I appreciate that's not very diverse. My only excuse for doing that is because we work in a very male-dominated tech sector, that I'm somehow addressing that gender problem there. But often we work with really great women as well, and they sometimes just need a little bit of a push. They are fabulous and very, very good at what they do, but they just need a little bit of a push. And that's great when you can actually prepare someone for an interview or give them an opportunity, and they do it and they love it and they want to do more of it. And that gets us really excited as well, because, you know, we obviously need more women in those senior positions speaking to the media. That's what we get real kicks out of as well.
One last question. I know you're super busy, and then I'll let you go. So in terms of your own development, Jocelyn, so kind of what are the things that you do to make sure that you're at the forefront of what working culture, given that you run your own business, you know, kind of what are the things that you do?
There's probably not a huge amount of time for that, after me just saying that, you know, I like to keep my weekends off and my evenings free. I mean, there is other than your fabulous podcast, Colin.
Obviously, I was fishing for a compliment. I was just going to cut you off if you didn't mention it, but no, thank you.
It's great, because actually, you know, you're talking to people that aren't necessarily the CEOs, you can learn so much from your podcast and what's happening in different organizations. There's probably one that's more specific to me and what I do called PR Moment. It's run out of the UK. They just talk to PR agency leaders about how they run their agencies. So I dip in and listen to that from time to time, which is really interesting for me. I'm pretty sure there's not an Australian equivalent. So yeah, I listen to that. So that's good. But yeah, personal development. So much kind of current stuff and the news agenda I've got to be across. I kind of don't get a huge amount of time for that.
But what I would say is that because you're across the news agenda, you're at the forefront of understanding the issues that people face on a daily basis. So you're, in a way, Jocelyn, you never really stop thinking about it. You know, we've had so much culture stuff in the news here over the last 3 to 4 weeks. It's always there, right?
Hello. I mean, yeah, that's it. I'm across all that. I mean, whether you can kind of say that's personal development or not.
Jocelyn, it has been fascinating talking to you. I wish you and Bench every success. And I want to say a huge thank you for spending time talking to us on the Culture Makers podcast today.
Thanks, Colin. Really good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to the Culture Makers podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to get notified when new episodes are released. If you've been inspired by today's guest, please share the link with your friends, family, or networks. If you'd like to continue your learning journey, then why not join our virtual community of Culture Makers, where our members share ideas to help them get a little bit better every day. You can find out more at www.culturemakers.community.